Amen. We got Brother Steve Coleman here with us this morning. We'll be sharing on the subject of the Holy Spirit. Amen, brother. Just take your liberty there. Have a word of prayer. Brother Steve.
Okay, thank you. Well, good morning to all. Let's begin here with a word of prayer and just ask the Lord to meet with us here as we study His Word. Father, we come to You this morning and we do recognize that this Word of God was breathed out by the Spirit of God. And we desire, Lord, to understand and to walk in it, Father. And so we come this morning and ask for Your blessing upon this Bible study this morning, that we might be able to hear and to assimilate the Word of God into our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. As Brother Don mentioned, the subject that we'd like to look at this morning in our Bible study is the Holy Spirit. And what I have in mind, the next, this one and then two more that I have opportunity to lead, I want to look at the subject of the Holy Spirit. As I began to research this, the Lord laid it on my heart as a burden that we should be looking at this subject. I love to look at the Scriptures in relation to Jesus Christ, but it was just laid upon my heart that the Spirit of God is a misunderstood subject, and that we should be studying what the Word of God has to say about the Holy Spirit. And so I began to research the subject, and I discovered that it is a tremendous subject, and that God has a lot to say about the Holy Spirit, enough so that none of us should be deceived in any way. If we would honestly, earnestly open up the Word of God, there's enough Scripture that speaks about the Holy Spirit that we are inexcusable to have a misunderstanding of the Spirit of God. So the title, if you want to give a title to these next three that I will share, and of course Brother Steve Clark will share next week and we'll just take our turns, but the three that I want to share would be on the Holy Spirit, reality, and imitation. All right, so to begin with, I'd like to tell a little story, a bit of my testimony, in order to illustrate a couple of points that I'd like to bring out. I was born again. If you heard my testimony, now I shared it a couple of months ago. I was a heathen. I was in the world. I had no Christian upbringing per se. I did live in an area. I lived in the country, and I lived in an area where there were people that had a profession of Jesus Christ, and people that had what would be known as a Christian background, a Christian upbringing. And eventually, one day, someone invited me to go to church, and I began to read my Bible, and I got born again. I got born again on a Monday. And I was so excited that day, I couldn't wait to tell someone. And so, as I cast around in my mind, who should I tell, I thought of this man that I knew that was a mechanic. And I had known him, and I knew he was a Mennonite man. And I went to see this man. I went down to his shop, and I was bubbling over with excitement. You know, I just got born again here 5 hours ago, and so I was very excited about that. And so I walked into his shop, and I said, "Carl, you wouldn't believe what happened." He said, "What?" And I said, "I got born again." And he said, "Why, that's great." He said, "Where are you going to go to church?" And I said, "Well, I thought I'd go to that church that I got invited to there here a week or two ago." And his eyes got big, and he said, "Steve, you don't want to go there. They're charismatic." And I left that conversation, and I was troubled, and I went home, and I opened up my dictionary, and I don't have it open right now, but I still remember the definition that was in there under charismatic. I was worried. I didn't want to go the wrong way. And I opened up the dictionary, And in the under the word charismatic, it said having a special anointing of the Holy Spirit. And I said, well, that's what I want. And so I tell that story to illustrate a couple of points. Having a special anointing of the Holy Spirit is what we want. Okay? And so I see three lessons in the story. The first is, there is an imitation. That's the first lesson. There is an imitation. There is an error. And I'll talk about that here in a couple of minutes, but let me finish the other two points. And then there is a fear. There is a fear of the imitation of the Holy Spirit. And I see that as an error also. So I see the error that there is an imitation. And now this man was pegging, was sticking a label on that imitation. And I don't know if I want to label it, but I say there is an imitation. And then he also had a fear. And sadly, I think too many that have a fear of the imitation end up with no spirit at all, no presence of the Holy Spirit at all. And that's an error as well, and we'll talk about that one also. And then thirdly, there must be a balance. There must be a balance. There must be a way to have a special anointing of the Holy Spirit, which is what we all want. In fact, it is critical. It is the only way that we can make it in our Christian life if we have a special anointing of the Holy Spirit. And there must be a way to have that without being in error, either in an error of fear and therefore having no spirit, or being in an error of having an imitation of the Spirit of God. So we want to walk that middle road. So now let me just for a minute, or just for a few minutes here, look into some of these imitations, okay? And I ask you to bear with me here and consider some of these things and let God open up your heart in some of these areas. Let me start, for example, with the concept of exorcism. Now, the Lord just laid it on my heart about the Holy Spirit, but a month or two ago, as we were having our family devotions, and I don't even remember what subject we were talking about, we were looking at Jesus Christ and at his walk on this earth and casting out a demon out of a man. And, you know, it was laid on my heart. It was one of those things. And I began to think about it, and there is no scriptural example of exorcising a building. There is no scriptural example of casting a demon out of a place. And so, right away, we can begin to see error in those ways, in those things. Well, anyway, let me look at some of these others. Slaying in the spirit. Someone that is laid over and incapacitated is not the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is a gentle spirit. He is a holy spirit. He does not slay. He does not kill. He does not lay over people. Barking. Barking like a dog is for a dog. It's not for a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And spirit guides. Okay, the Spirit of God does guide us. He is a still, small voice. But too many have confused the area, the idea of a spirit guide. That's an imitation of the Holy Spirit. Also, we have some that are true. There, I believe in speaking in tongues. I believe that happened in the Bible. And I believe that those were men of God that spoke in tongues that we see happening in the Bible. And yet today I say that the vast majority of what we see in the area of speaking in tongues is simply an imitation. It's not real. It's not the Holy Spirit. And as we get into this study, I think you'll see why. Also, even many of the healings that we see, I believe, are coming from a power that is not of God, but rather of the deceiver. So there is an imitation, and I think that what this friend of mine was sharing was he was afraid I was going to go down the road of that imitation. Then again, remember, there is a fear, and in the case of fear, what often takes over then, instead of relying upon the Spirit of God, the fear of falling into the ditch of imitation, then what often happens is there's a reliance upon just the written rules and standards of man. And when that happens, men begin to walk away from the Spirit of God. And that happened in Jesus' day. That was the way that the scribes and Pharisees were. And it's the way that we see men walking even today. The result of that I see is that there's no desire for spiritual things. There's no desire for God. There's no desire for godliness. And finally, there's a hardness of heart that comes forth out of that. And those two extremes are the two ways of error in the subject of the Holy Spirit. And so, as we begin here, I'd like to lay a foundation of scriptures, and what I'd like to do is read. There's quite a few scriptures here. There are literally dozens, if not scores, of scriptures that speak about the Holy Spirit. And I tried to pick out some here that'll give us the basic doctrine that God has established about the Spirit of God. So I thought we'd start there, and we're looking for the balance. We're looking for reality with the Spirit of God. We're looking for the Spirit of God dwelling in us. That is the great mystery of the church. That is the reason that Jesus Christ came, was to bring us the gift of the Spirit of God dwelling in us in this temple of flesh. And so we'd like to understand that. We'd like to walk in that way and not in some of these extremes and some of these imitations, nor in the fear and so on. So let's first look at John chapter 14. I believe God used John in a great way to teach on the Spirit of God here. And so let's look, and reading in John chapter 14, we'll start in verse 12. Jesus is speaking here, and he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Now, before we go on, I want to establish that all of the discussion on the Holy Spirit is only, in the New Testament, is only because Jesus Christ was willing to go on to his Father. We'll find later it was expedient that he go, because if he didn't go, we could not receive, as I said, the Spirit of God dwelling in us. That's the difference in the New Testament and the Old. In the Old Testament, the Spirit of God did not dwell in a man. But in the New, because of Jesus Christ, we can have the very presence of God all the time. So, verse 13, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. And that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him." Now let's pause there for a moment. We saw it up in verse 15, and we see it here again in verse 21. "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me." Okay? And he said here in verse 16, if you love me, keep my commandments, then in verse 16, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter. That is the Spirit of God. That is the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is given by God only to those who love the Lord Jesus Christ and who keep his commandments. So, we want to talk a little bit about discernment at some point here in our discussion. And one of the ways that we can discern reality and imitation is that if a man claims to have the Spirit of God and he does not keep the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ, he is not receiving the Comforter that Jesus Christ is speaking of here. Jesus is very clear in this teaching. He says, if you keep the commandments, you love me. And if you love me, I will pray the Father, and I will give, and he will give you the Comforter. And here in verse 21, he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him. So if we love the Lord Jesus Christ with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, that is the summation of the law. And if we do that, then what we see is that God himself will love us, and the Lord Jesus Christ will love us, and they will manifest themselves. We will be able to see and to understand the things of the Spirit of heaven, the things of the kingdom of heaven, which are spiritually discerned, and they will also come and make their abode. Now, let's keep going here for another few verses. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not to the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. And so, here is the question. Judas has asked the very question that we want to ask this morning, is how will you make yourself manifest to the believer, but not to the world? And Jesus said very simply, because a believer will love me and keep my commandments. Therefore, we will come and make our abode with him. An abode is a home. And so very simply, God will dwell in the heart of them that love him. verse 24, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Now we'll stop in that passage right there. That's of the Holy Spirit. And this is one of the functions of the Holy Spirit. And now remember, this is about the first place that Jesus begins to teach on the Spirit of God. And I believe that in the first place that something is mentioned in the Bible is a place where God is trying to define that thing. And so here we have Jesus Christ himself speaking on the triune God, another part of the Godhead in the Spirit of God, and the first thing he says is not that when the Spirit of God is come, he will give you the gift of tongues, but rather what he says is he will teach you all things. He will bring to remembrance the things that I have said. So let's keep that in mind. Now, the next passage I'd like to read is in chapter 15, right across the page. And we'll read verses 26 and 27 there. And there it says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth. So here we have tied together that the word Comforter that Jesus is using, Parakletos, is referring to the Spirit of God. And we also have the confirmation that the Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth, and that he proceeds out of the Father, and he is sent by the Son. This is a tremendous verse in terms of setting the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. I will send him unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. All right, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, testifies, points men to Christ, and he lifts up Jesus Christ. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. And what Jesus is simply saying there is that it will testify in the heart of the disciples that this is, that I have received the Spirit of God. Okay, now let's turn now to chapter 16. Jesus is still teaching on this subject. And here in verse 7, we'll start reading. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. God chose in his wisdom that he would not have the Spirit of God dwelling in the hearts of men while Jesus Christ dwelt upon this earth. And I believe that was because the operation of the Spirit of God coming into the heart of a man happens when we commit ourselves, when we are what we would say is when we are born again, when we have trusted in Jesus Christ and in the blood that he shed upon the cross. At that time, then, the Comforter comes. And so, here, Jesus saying, if I don't go away, the Comforter will not come. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye shall see me no more. And of judgment, because of the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. And there we have it again. The function of the Spirit is to guide us into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself. The Spirit of God. Now there is another point in establishing the doctrine of the Spirit of God. Those that are fascinated with the Spirit of God and are speaking always of the Spirit of God, the Spirit this and the Spirit that, and not of the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe are in danger of being in that imitation. Because it says here, the Spirit of God, Jesus Christ is saying, the Spirit of God will not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. The Spirit of God, the purpose of the Spirit of God is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Okay. Now let's look a little bit in the book of Acts as we're establishing a scriptural basis for studying the Spirit of God here. Let's turn in chapter 1 of the book of Acts, and let's look at verses 4 through 8 here, and see about some of the effects, some of the things that happen when the Spirit of God comes, and some of the other things that are being said here. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. Jesus Christ commanded the apostles, do not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. That's referring to the Spirit of God. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Baptizing means that they would be immersed. They would be completely covered with the Spirit of God. And so, not many days hence, upon his resurrection, Jesus Christ had promised to send forth the Spirit of God. And so these men were waiting in that promise, in that moment of promise that Jesus Christ had given, that they would be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now, in this our day, we do not need to take a special time and a special seeking. What we need to do is we need to be born again. We need to walk in the commandments of Jesus Christ. And if we are born again, if we are entrusting our lives to we will receive the Holy Ghost, this same promise that we see here in the book of Acts. And when therefore they were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But, listen to this in verse 8, Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So the coming of the Spirit of God brings a power and causes us to come to the place of being able to be living martyrs. That word witness is martus, and it means a martyr. Okay, let's look at Acts chapter 4. Let's look at verse 33. Verse 33 here says, And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Chapter 6, verse 8, let's look there. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Chapter 7, verse 55. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Okay, so those are some of the texts that show some of the working of the power, dunamis. Dunamis is the same word as we get our word dynamite, and that is the Greek word that is translated here into English, power. I'd like to read also here in John's Gospel, in chapter 7, verses 38 and 39. And while we're reading this verse, I want to ask you this question. Is this your experience? Have you experienced what Jesus is speaking of here? And in verse 37 of chapter 7 of John, it says, In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. If he is thirsty, if he is dry, let him come unto the Lord Jesus and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly, that dry, thirsty person, if he believeth on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So in speaking of the Spirit of God, it is that which causes living water to flow forth out of our lives. So if we were a dry and a thirsty people before the coming of grace into our lives, before we believed on the Lord Jesus, it simply says here, He that believeth on me, as the Scripture saith, out of his belly shall flow. He shall be so full of the Spirit of God that the pressure will come forth right out of his belly, and out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Okay, and I would like to read one last scripture then, just so that we also understand where we are here. Let's turn in 2 Peter in chapter 1, I want to read verse 21. And it says here that the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so what we have in our hands that we know as the Holy Bible, that book, that word of prophecy that we see, was given by the Holy Ghost, was breathed out, was inspired unto holy men of old. And so I see a few lessons in that scripture as well. Holy men are those to whom the Holy Ghost speaks. And also we see that everything in the Word of God was inspired by the Holy Ghost. If you want to say it this way, this book was written by the Holy Ghost through men, through the mechanism of men writing it down, as they were inspired by the Holy Ghost. Now, the Holy Ghost is God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit are three that are one. And so this book was written by God, by the Lord Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit. And It must be, and since God is unchangeable, as I live, saith the Lord. He will not change. The seasons will not change. God is unchangeable. And because he is an unchangeable God, this word of God must be upheld today as it was 2,000 years ago. And so, if there is an inconsistency between the word of God and someone's actions today, we must conclude that, and that person is professing to have the Spirit of God, we must conclude that they do not have the Spirit of God. There must be a consistency between actions, words, and the Word of God. So, all right, that was the foundation of Scripture that we'd like to use as we study out the Spirit of God here. Now, I have seven subjects, and I'm going to list the seven subjects. I was hoping to cover the first two today, and I don't know if we'll be able to do that. But I'm going to name the seven subjects that we would like to look at regarding the Holy Spirit over the next couple of sessions here in studying the Bible. And the first is the promise of the Spirit. I want to establish that the Spirit of God is something that God promised to give. And we want to look at that promise that God gave of the Spirit of God. The second is the person of the Spirit. I think it's very important for us to establish that the Holy Spirit is a person. And not only is he a person, he is also fully God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. And in fact, the Spirit of God is the person of God which dwells in us. So we'd like to look at the person of the Spirit. Then the third subject, the ministry or the function of the Holy Spirit. And that's a big subject, the ministry, why the Spirit of God is given. Fourthly, the effects, or maybe we could say the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I was hoping to look at those two subjects together as well. The ministry of the Spirit and the function, or I'm sorry, and the effects of the Spirit. Then fifthly, I thought it would be good to look at the manifestation of the Spirit. And that would be the power that we read about here, dunamis. And by the power of the Spirit of God, what comes forth. The sixth subject I wanted to look at was the departure of the Spirit. Now, I'm not going to dwell a long time on there, but you know, there is a place where the Spirit of God does leave. And so the departure of the Spirit is a subject we should look at. I wanted to look at was the purpose. The purpose that God has ordained for the Spirit of God in our lives. And so those were the subjects that I hope to look at. And I'm encouraging you all to listen, that are listening in, to study on those subjects. And perhaps we can have some dialoguing then in our discussion here. We can have some dialoguing on the Scriptures and on questions in the Scriptures, and that we might have a better understanding. Remember, what we're looking for is the balance between an imitation of the Spirit of God. Men do not understand the Spirit of God in the natural man. And so we want a balance between the imitations that come forth and the fear that we might receive an imitation, so therefore we do nothing. We want a balance between those two. We want to be truly led as God ordained by the Spirit of God. Okay. Well, all right. Why don't I just give out the scriptures here in the subject of the promise of the Spirit? I guess that's the only one we'll get to this morning. We won't look at the person of the Spirit. We'll look at the promise. And some of these scriptures we already read, but the main text that we would like to look at, that one we will read. And that would be in Acts chapter 2. And what it is it's a quotation from Joel, the book of Joel, chapter 2, verses 28 through 32. And it's Peter quoting here in Acts chapter 2, verse 17. And Peter is standing up and he's preaching, and this is a manifestation of the Spirit of God working in the life of Peter. And it says, Peter says, "This is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." And that is the promise of the Spirit of God. God has promised, and He promised from old that the Spirit of God would come. He would pour out of the Spirit, and it would make an effect upon men and women. It would make an effect upon their lives. And they would prophesy, and they would dream, and they would have visions, and they would have all sorts of godly purpose instead of just the purposes of the flesh. So that's the promise of the Spirit. Again, we read in John chapter 14 that Jesus said He would send the Comforter. In John chapter 16, that was John 14, 16. Here in John 16, 7, He said it was expedient that He go, because He would send the Comforter. In John chapter 7, verse 39, we saw that the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus hadn't yet left. In Luke chapter 11, verse 13, we see that the Father gives the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 15, verse 26, we see that He's sent by the Father. And in Ephesians 1, verse 13, we see that we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. There are other verses that speak about the promise of the Spirit, but it should be clear from the five or six here that the Spirit of God was promised. It was a promise from God. And so that's all I really have this morning. Like I said, the next time I share, we'll start by talking about the person of the Spirit, and then hopefully we can talk about the ministry of the Spirit and the effects of the Spirit of God in the life of a believer. So may God give us wisdom and touch our hearts and cause us to walk in the right ways in these subjects. So thank you very much. God bless you.
Thank you, brother. Yeah, one thing that you know, that really that I was pondering here is that there's, and I've seen this in the circles that I've been in the charismatic churches, that there's so much emphasis on the Holy Spirit that Jesus is kind of put back,
that's right,
you know, on the shelf, and it needs to be the other way around.
Amen.
And like Brother Steve read there, that, you know, that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, was to make Jesus known, and you know, not the other way around. Like he read, was it in John 16:13 there? Because how will we know if we know Jesus, then we'll know the Holy Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit that reveals Jesus to us. And that gets so twisted around nowadays, and it has for, you know, the last 20-some years, actually probably the last 40 years. But, yeah, praise God for the message here this morning. I'm excited about the subject that you listed off there. That's going to be good. Any other comments this morning? We just had one caller that just came on just a couple minutes ago. Sorry that you were late. But you can call back during the week, or, you know, call back and listen to it. Let me give you that message. Let's see here. Yeah, you can call 712-432-3974 and then the PIN number 291000 to call back and listen to the message, or the caller that called in here. So yeah, praise God for the message this morning. Any comments this morning?
Yeah, well, I guess you know, this is Mose, and I was just thoroughly enjoying the study there, and I was just, you know, amazed that he's done already.
Yeah.
At the time, I looked at the time, and it was yeah, it's time for it to be over. So, yeah, praise God. It's what I needed to hear. It's a wonderful start to this series of Amen. Messages on the Holy Spirit. I just look forward to more of it. And,
yes.
you know, it's the real thing. You know, that's what we want, the real thing. Is, you know, like you said, there are fake things out there, and some of us have been in touch with that or have seen some of that, and we want the real thing. The thing that produces, you know, I had to think of there in the Sermon on the Mount, it says blessed is the man that hungers and thirsts after righteousness.
Amen.
And then as another verse, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto you. And so it's not outward things like healing and things like that. Now, if we focus on those things, it's not going to come out right. But if we focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, that's
right.
what it's all about. The cleansing and the purification of our own lives and the sin, getting the sin out of our own lives, that the righteousness of Jesus Christ may rule in our lives. Oh, I just praise God for this introduction this morning. Amen.
I think one thing, as I couldn't help but going back several years and just thinking, and others that I've known, and the earnestness that they had in seeking the Holy Spirit, but there wasn't no righteousness. It was all just the thrill of the. Of the supernatural, and Jesus was lifted up, but as far as the walk, there was no walk, but when we find Jesus, you know, that's what it's all about, to walk with him. Well, amen. Any other comments this morning before we close here? I need to get moving along. So, okay, well, let me just give some numbers here. I give the number to call back during the week, and also listen to the live church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship. You can call 712-432-3973. And number 291563. Let's have a word of prayer here. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we do bless you. Thank you, Father, for the Comforter, for the Holy Ghost, Lord, that points us to Jesus, that leads us into all truth. Father, I just pray, Lord, that through the coming weeks, Lord, these messages here on the Holy Spirit, Father, God, that you would anoint my brother, Lord, as he teaches from the Word of God. And Father, I just pray that as those that call in, that are listening, Lord, that you would prompt them, Lord, to seek the Lord Jesus, to seek this subject out about the Holy Spirit and his work here in the earth in this our day. Lord, I just want to bless you. I thank you, Lord, for the Comforter, Lord, that leads us into all truth, that points us to Jesus. And Lord, I just want to bless you and just thank you, Father, for the subject here. Lord, may your name be glorified. And we thank you, Lord, for your love and your mercies. In Jesus' name.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of his word. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.